T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, rolling on a Monday, Shane and Bruce with you right here. Mariah Lazos runs the show, 869-1240. You can join it. K-State fans took another step closer with their club with a pretty mature performance down the stretch, an 11-0 run that accentuated a strong defensive effort. And this team just kind of flexed a little bit on the road and won a game in, I don't want to say convincing fashion, but that's how you go win a game. You defend, you rebound, you get a moment somewhere in the second half in a game that is, I guess, fairly tight. You get your little run and then you protect it. And that's what Kansas State did. They looked the part of the conference leader down in Waco this weekend, I thought, Shane.
If they lose that game, everybody in the Big 12 collectively pees down their leg.
Yeah,
and starts to wonder, if not now, when are we ever going to reel Kansas in? Now, Iowa State kind of did that. My guys, Iowa State, they lose at home to TCU and kind of not clear the way because, as you said in the first segment, there's still plenty of games left to go in league play, but K-State made a statement against a red-hot Baylor team, made plays down the stretch. It was a anybody's ball game before that 11-0 run really late. And now Baylor was a little shorthanded. What was the guy's name, that little guard who didn't play? Mekhi Mason. He didn't play.
Oh, yeah,
that,
right.
That was a big loss. And was it King McClure? Had a knee. And then that Texas game that snapped their 6-game winning streak or whatever. But at this point in the season, everybody's a little bit banged up, and you don't need to tell K-State about injuries. They had to deal with going without Dean Wade for a handful of games too. So that was a mature, like you said, it was a mature win. It was a wasn't a big exclamation mark win,
no.
But that was a game they could have easily gone down there and gotten beat and would have pulled their own selves back into the muck that is.
Well, this is
a bunch of teams with 4 losses.
Exactly, which is where Baylor has now fallen back with 2 consecutive losses. Iowa State loses, so they come back to the pack. Now all of a sudden, you got a bunch of folks at 4 and 5 losses that are in the picture. But K-State, all of a sudden, is breathing some clear air. Only 2 losses. They're 2 clear of the pack. They've won. They are in the midst of their longest conference winning streak since 1974. When they won 11 straight in the old Big 8. Did lose that one game to Texas A&M in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That's kind of their only scuff here in the last few weeks, but they're taking care of their business. 8 games still to play. A lot of things can happen, and last weekend was a very good example of that.
And if they lose that game at Waco, they got a game tomorrow at Texas, which is not going to be easy. If lose the game at Waco, and it's like, oh man, we had this, you know, especially with Iowa State losing and KU got played tough for a half, but they played big boy basketball.
They've got Texas coming up tomorrow, and then they've got Iowa State coming in. One would imagine with their hair on fire on Saturday. So I'll tell you what: if you can navigate these 2 games, if you can get Texas on the road and then you knock off Iowa State at home, Then you're looking at a trip to West Virginia, a home game against Oklahoma State, round two of the Sunflower Showdown in Lawrence. And then obviously you got to finish with you finish with the three games in March, but they're in pretty good shape. They've done a fair amount of heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. If they can get through this week, if they can knock off Texas and Iowa State,
or just one of the two for me, just one of the two, that'd be 9-3 in the league with what, six to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're 9-3. I bet you're at least a game and a half ahead of everybody in the league like they are now.
Yeah, because your only road game in March is at TCU. You've got Baylor at home and Oklahoma at home.
Hmm. Things are setting up okay for them.
Yeah, things are set up very nicely at this point. Now you can't stumble. You can't have a Baylor week and lose two games against two teams that can beat you. Texas can beat you down in Austin, and Iowa State is one of those teams that you never know when their really good side shows up, they can beat anybody anywhere. So, but you would think you like their chances going to West Virginia. You like their chances at home against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, K-State needs to muck things up against Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
When Iowa State's going good, they play pretty basketball. They can't afford to let Iowa State play pretty basketball.
Well, and is there any team in this conference better than doing that? Because they defend. I mean,
right.
at the very least, you can look at this conference and say Kansas State's the best defensive team.
Without question.
And you can say that without any hesitation. And so that gives them a chance. You know, and they were good enough to go on an 11-0 run. Stokes was really good.
Yep.
Really good. No, I thought that was a really nice win. It wasn't anything that you'd foist up the flagpole and scream for everyone to look at, but that was a mature, strong effort by a team that looks like all of a sudden, and I hesitate to say this because you've got 14 years of history here, but all of a sudden Kansas State looks like the team to beat. And I guess really from a metric standpoint, how can you argue it? They only have two losses.
Yep.
So,
isn't it funny how pretty much everybody at this time of the year got that bench whittled down quite a bit?
Mm-hmm.
K-State yes. played six guys.
Yeah.
That's it. Cardi Jada had 29 points off the bench. That was pretty much it. We got our ride or die guys. And the ones that missed games early in the season are healthy now, and here we go. Let's strap it up. Barry Brown played every minute but one. Cam Stokes only got 4 minutes of rest, and Dean Wade only got 4 minutes of rest. So unless those guys get in foul trouble, we've got this thing whittled down quite a bit. And be it injury or just trust in certain guys, it's time to go now. You know, like we said with Wichita State, you're smack dab in the middle of conference play. You're playing teams for a second time in the league. We know what you do. You know what we do. Now let's just see who executes it the best. And K-State, I don't want to say they don't care, but because they're a team that's built on toughness and defense, they don't really care. Because this is what we do, and here's how we have to win a game, and we held you to 63 points. And that's the bottom line. And if there's ever a team that is unconcerned with aesthetics, it's Kansas State. They don't care what it looks like. They want to muddy it up. They want it to
be. Yeah, I have no problem with it. Yeah, it's to K-Staters right now, that all looks pretty beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The muddier it gets, the better it looks for them. Now, what about KU? They go and they take care of their business and beat an Oklahoma State team in much the fashion that we probably expected them to do so. But, Shane, they all of a sudden play a huge game tonight on Big Monday against TCU, coming off a win and probably feeling some new life after going to Ames and getting a win over Iowa State. So now you get a TCU team that's lost one game at home against a Kansas team that's won one game on the road, and not hard to understand why TCU is actually a field goal favorite in this game.
That's a quick turnaround, too.
Sure is.
We talk about depth or lack thereof. KU doesn't have much of it either. And to have this quick of a turnaround, what, two games now in 48 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Garrett, well, they could sure use him back. KU tried David McCormick, but he didn't look the part. He looked kind of shell-shocked, and they really don't get much from their bench. And that was a big reason why Oklahoma State was tied with them at halftime, which I could not believe, but they were. And a guy that they intended on redshirting was one of their best players. Ochai Agbaji had 23 points.
Boy.
Where would they be without this guy?
I mean, I'm telling you, man.
He looks like a pro.
Yes.
And they were redshirting him. He looks like a pro, and they were redshirting him.
Well, it just goes to show you, and this isn't making an excuse for Kansas, but it just goes to show you where he was in the pecking order for the plan. I mean, if you've got Doak and DeSosa, I mean, where this team looks totally different. And well, I know people are getting tired of it, and I get that.
But Bill's never been really crazy about a deep and extended rotation off the bench anyway.
Right.
Normally, he's a seven guy. He's going to go with seven guys, no matter who's on his bench. So some of it's, you know, by design, and some of it's by necessity, not playing a whole lot of guys. But I'm telling you, Agbaji had 5 3-pointers, and Lawson did what he's going to do. But, I mean, it was Ochai Agbaji, who played his 10th game, and Mitch Lightfoot, who helped KU beat Oklahoma State the other day. Now, one question still remains is can they take this on the road? Because they've been pretty atrocious on the road. They're 1-6. 17-0 if they're in Allen or a quote-unquote neutral floor. 1-6 in true road games. And I absolutely didn't see TCU coming to lay the smack down like they did against Iowa State. So that will certainly have KU's attention. But will they have enough energy about midway through the second half with this, you know, quick turnaround and a road trip and a short bench? They're playing with fire, man. And I know that that's the way it's got to be because Doak ain't coming back and DeSosa is ineligible. And we'll see about Marcus Garrett. I don't know. But you got to get something out of Quentin Grimes and David McCormick and just, you know, LeGerald Vick, forgot about him. He's gone too. Who knows when he's coming back. And we could talk about him in the 10 o'clock segment. I want to kind of dive into what the problem is there and the story of Ochai Agbaji, who was kind of an afterthought coming out of Kansas City. But one game at a time, I guess, is how you have to look at it if you're a KU fan, because if you look at the big picture, I would guess, unless you're really, you know, pie in the sky, that the enormity of the hole that they've dug themselves is hard to think of digging out of it. But they win tonight, that'd be a step in the right direction.
Right.
But it's just one game, and they've got three teams to climb over. Three pretty damn good teams to climb over. Now they have it all in front of them. They got to play each of the three in front of them one more time, so you can help yourself then. But their margin of error is pretty thin on a team that's roster is pretty thin. But they got a couple of unexpected guys to help them.
Yep,
against Oklahoma State, but the fact that they needed him against Oklahoma State is a little bit disturbing. But
that's disconcerting, probably. And the challenge will be totally different tonight. This is a This is a tough test tonight. So it'll be interesting to see if they can pull themselves. They need this one. This is a game they really, really need to have. They can't afford really to fall back three in the loss column.
Nope.
Their resume's fine, and we're not talking about a one seed anymore. We're just talking about a team that will probably be seated in the top three or the top four. They've got a tremendous non-conference strength of schedule. They've played a better schedule than any team in the Big 12 and have generally had success with that schedule. But we'll see. I don't know. The challenge is as stiff as it's been for a while in Lawrence right now, and tonight will be really a first step in determining whether or not they can meet that challenge.
Here's another thing that's a little concerning maybe for Kansas fans is the NCAA tournament bracket. If it were released on Saturday, KU would not be in the Midwest Regional. They would not be in Kansas City, which for years and years, non-KU fans lamented that fact that they were always in Kansas City, and they always were rewarded by being really close to Lawrence. But
that's generally what you get when your measure of work is. I mean, that's how you get rewarded. Look at Duke and North Carolina. I mean, how many times has Duke played in the opening rounds in North Carolina over the years?
Greensboro.
I mean, you know. My God. So, anyway. So, big one. And we'll talk more about KU and some of the lingering issues that they're facing coming up a little bit later on in the show. We take a break right now. 9:42 in the AM. Let's get the Cindio Twitter question. That comes up next here as Shane and Bruce continuing on Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.